If I can stay calm and keep my inner peace and my calmness, that has an impact on the other person as well.
Hi, and welcome to Lead Well, the podcast for you if you want to get better at leading yourself and leading others. This is Christine Schickinger, your host, looking into how you can achieve peak performance while keeping a peaceful mind.
Hi, hello to this week's podcast. And today we'll talk about something that I had some very interesting personal experience with over the last few weeks, and that is difficult conversations. So how to deal with situations where I think things will be hard. Now, I was invited to a team of supervisors for NeuroGraphica. And while I really am a passionate instructor of NeuroGraphica and I love sharing my knowledge with others, I felt a bit, vulnerable. Because in that group of people, there was one person who I thought knows much more than me. And so I went to that meeting already feeling on the defense. And guess what happened? Because I was so insecure, I started snapping at exactly the person that I really admire and I really also like a lot as a person, just because I felt so defensive. And what happened after that, in the past, I admit, I would have probably thought, well, Christine, that was such a mistake and you did such a wrong thing and you shouldn't have done that. But I would probably not have acted on it. But what I know now is that making sure that I take the first step, reach out to that person and address the issue has helped me tremendously. And the interesting thing is that several of my clients have reported this situation of having a difficult conversation as well. One being in a very similar environment where she says she feels insecure because there are two people who always challenge her and who always want to prove that they are great and so on. So it was a perfect timing and a perfect environment to look into what is actually a difficult conversation. How can I tackle it? And why is it so important to have such conversation? Now, I understand that if I do not reach out to the person where I felt there was a bit of an awkward situation, this kind of lingers in the air and probably the relationship goes bad just because me not taking action. So yes, I need to do that. And it's not only in personal relationships, it can also be in a professional setting. It has an impact on dynamics, on team dynamics, and also on my personal growth, and of course also on the effectiveness of leadership. If I am able to address things as they occur and as I feel them coming up. Now let's look into what I mean by that. So first of all, and I learned that over the last few weeks more than ever before, when I want to go into a difficult conversation, the very first thing I need to do is to make sure that I am in the right state for it. Now, what is the right state for it? I have to prepare mentally. I need to know what my values are. I need to know what my intent is. And I need to know what my purpose is for the conversation. And at the same time, I need to prepare emotionally. And we talked about empathy last week, so that's also something. I need to be open to also take the perspective of my counterpart. I need to be open to also think from their perspective. And of course, I want to be clear. I want to have this purpose of an outcome that's beneficial for both parties. I don't know about you, but for me, it is really important that whenever I have an interaction with someone, they go away with a good feeling. I do not want to leave the other with a bad feeling. And the more I focus on that, the more I figure out that, yes, it still happens. I'm just a human. So I still have encounters. I still have conversations where I say things, where I do things that leave the other person with a not so positive feeling. But because I'm aware of that, I will then enter in this new conversation and have this new difficult, for me, very difficult conversation. And I found out that if I do that, and if I take that step, and if I really address things, it's so much easier. Now, what are some key communication techniques that we can use in such a setting when we already assume that the conversation will be difficult? So first and foremost, it's important to listen. Practice active listening. And we can do that in every single conversation that we're in. And active listening is nothing else than fully listening without already thinking about our answers while we are having that conversation. So allow the other person to express themselves. Allow the other person to share their view on things and actually respond to that instead of already trying to make our cause and fight for our cause. So as Stephen Covey said in The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, seek first to understand and then to be understood. That's exactly that. So listen first. Another thing that's pretty helpful is to understand where the other person comes from, to understand their, what we call the meta model of their thinking. And if you look into previous podcast episodes, I talk in some of them about what the type of varieties we all have. And one, for example, is there are people who look at things more from a global perspective, and there are those who go into the detail. And if those two are having a difficult conversation, it can be really hard because the one person says, well, yeah, overall, everything is okay. And the other person says, well, maybe, but if you look at the details, it isn't. Or you have a person who goes into nitty-gritty detail and the other one says, well, okay, give me the big picture. And if you have those two different types of people in a difficult communication, it gets even worse. So make sure you understand where your counterpart comes from, where your communication partner comes from, so that you can adjust, or at least you can think from their perspective, as we said. The next thing is use I statements. And I've been training that. I've been doing that for quite some while. And still, it's so easy to fall into the trap of saying, well, you have done this. You are thinking that. I think that you should do this. That will not help. So make sure you talk about yourself. Talk about what you perceive, what you see. And you can stick to the facts. You might share your emotions as well, depending on who you're talking to. And you might just stick to the actual facts, the evidence there. And while you're talking, pay attention to the nonverbal cues. You know probably that there are these hypotheses out there that only 7% of what we say is actually the content of what we say. I question that because especially when we are online, when we are in a virtual setting, we are not able to perceive everything. And also when we're on the phone, we cannot perceive a lot of everything that's going on. However, yes, there is a lot going on behind the scenes, so to say. So make sure that you pay attention to, if you can, the body language. Make sure you pay attention to the tone of what is said, to the expression of the person that you're talking to, because that can really either underline their message or it can be contradictory, and then you can dig deeper and you can say, okay, let me ask questions. Again, because before active listening, often there comes a great question, and we talked about that as well. Now, what can go wrong in a difficult conversation? And I had one with my husband today, and we both were really convinced we were right. And we figured out at the end that we both were, just in two different places of time. So emotions can run high, and that is why it's so important to understand. As we say in the trust technique, we share emotions. So if I am getting really, really agitated, that has an impact on the other person as well. If I can stay calm and keep my inner peace and my calmness, that has an impact on the other person as well. Of course, I cannot stay calm if the other is really excited and really agitated. So I need to make sure that I go along with them, I follow along with them. But still, I want to be the master of my own emotions. And that is why it's so important to practice your mental muscle, to actually make sure that you can switch off your thinking, that you can refocus on what is important to you in any situation. And it's a practice. It needs training. Like the physical muscle, you can also train your brain to make sure that it can switch off. It can go to neutral mode as quickly as within seconds, so that you are not reactive, that you can really look at everything from a non-emotional perspective. And when I say non-emotional, yes, I am involved, but I'm not getting this opposition reflex, this need to fight with the other person. Because if I attack someone, and I can easily attack someone with words, this almost every time, I would say every single time, means that the person gets defensive. And defensive can either be they're going away or they are attacking you back. And so if I can keep my inner peace, I like the person that is sitting in front of me and I appreciate them, but I'm not getting too emotional. So one thing to take into account there is focus on what is actually happening, on the behavior of the other person and actions and facts and figures. And do not criticize the person as such. And stop using words like always, every time, overall, because that is generalizing. And you want to focus on this one particular thing that you want to discuss. Now, as an example, I can give you some sort of framework that has been really helpful in difficult situations. And where I got it from is a course that I went through for mental health. It has been designed for situations where you as a leader or as a friend have the impression that the other person has a mental issue, like a burnout, like a depression, and you want to address that. So that is what it has been designed for. But I think it's really a great framework that you can apply generically. Now let's look into it. What does this framework say? The first thing when you start the conversation is to appreciate the other person and appreciate your relationship. And if it's a working relationship, appreciate the job of the person so far, to make sure that they feel safe, that they feel that you are with them rather than against them. As a second step, mention clearly what has changed, what you have noticed, maybe what you have seen, what others have told you. Or in my situation where I was the one making the mistake, I clearly stated what I have done and what I think was not the right thing to do. To then, as a third step, express your concern. Because when you go into a difficult conversation, it usually is because you have some concerns. You're afraid of something. You're afraid that this other person will not do their job right. You're afraid that they will get sick. You're afraid that the relationship will break. And you can clearly express that. You can express your concern. Or in my case, I did apologize. Because yes, I knew I did something that was not appropriate. And the next step is to ask the other person, now, what is your view of the situation? After I have given my view, I want to hear your view. And that is where I then listen. And we are together then looking for what are the reasons for what happens? What are the root causes? And then we can offer support. We can ask how we can support, how we can help, or what we can do to make sure that we can almost like repair the relationship. And be really concise about that. Make it really, really very, very concrete. And as a last step, together, make a plan how to proceed. So what will the next step be? And the next step can be really, really minor. It can be really, really small. It's just necessary that you agree on a next step and that you agree on what will happen when. And then, of course, make sure that you follow up, especially when you're talking with someone where you feel there is a difficult situation, where you feel they have maybe a health issue. Make sure that you already agree on a next date where you will check in again with them, have this conversation again, and check what has already changed and where you can support them further. And conclude on a positive note. Even if the conversation has been challenging, even if there was a lot of emotions involved, make sure that you both acknowledge the effort that it has taken you to have that conversation and maintain this respectful tone for each other. Now, what I can only invite you to do is to make sure that you practice and that you have the courage to address things that you feel are not going the way you would want them to do. It is a skill, and I am the best example for that, because for a long time in my life, I have avoided this type of conversations. And now that I actively go into them, I actively walk into them, I can see what a difference that makes. And the relationship with the people I had those conversations with is so much stronger because of it. So I can only invite you to have this courage to address what needs to be addressed, to first really get yourself in the state where you want to be, and also make sure that the other person gets into a calmer state when you are talking to each other, and train your mental muscle with these little exercises that I have provided you with through all my different podcast episodes. And I'll do another one at the end of this one, because it's so important to be able to switch off your thinking, to switch off this craziness in our heads, to then talk from our wiser inner self and not being distracted from all the saboteurs. You are centered, and make sure that you are addressing whatever you feel you need to address. Because I can only tell you from my perspective, as I said, that's something that I wasn't able to do for a long time. I was rather the one person who always shied back. And having now this courage, having the mental constitution to actively address those situations has completely changed my life. So I can only invite you to do that and to end this session today. I would want to encourage you to do this little exercise with me, and it's really the easiest one that you can think of. Put your fingertips together. One hand is enough. And wrap the two fingertips together with such a tension that you can feel those little wrinkles on both of your fingertips. And do that really slowly. You can keep your eyes open. You can shut your eyes. It's up to you. And focus on this sensation of your fingertips. And maybe you already feel that this small little exercise helps you to get calmer, to get more centered. And I can only invite you to do that as often as possible in the course of your day, because that will prepare you for everything that's coming along your way. Now, thank you for today. Remember to always lead well, yourself and others, and have a fantastic rest of your day. Bye-bye.
This was Lead Well. Now, what is the one thing that you're taking away from this episode? Please share in the comments below, and do share the podcast with your friends and family, but only if you like it.